If everyone, thank you so much for coming this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you that you've called us to prayer. Thank you that you have said where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. And today we really believe that, and we know that you hear the prayer in a falling tear. You hear the prayer in a sigh. You hear the prayers of our hearts that sometimes are too deep for words. We come to you, know that you're a listening God, and that not only do you listen, but you act on our behalf. We come in faith, believing that even if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with you, O Lord our God. You who do amazing things for us. You who prepare a path ahead of us. You who move mountains. You who encourage our hearts in the dark night. You who bring us to resurrection victory time and time again. You who work transformation in our life. You who fill us with the Holy Spirit and promise us life eternal with you. You are the God of our salvation. And today we bring these prayers to you, confident with faith, knowing that you hear and will answer us. Lord, we lift up what Sally just mentioned, the Operation Christmas Child Project. We pray that we as a congregation would get behind that project, recognize how privileged we are, and be willing to give of ourselves to fill those boxes full with presents for kids who need them so badly, who don't get any Christmas presents, and who would just enjoy knowing by these boxes that they will receive how much you love them. Lord, help us to do this, and help us to do it gratefully and gladly. Lord, with Tom Mancibo, we thank you for Lorraine's successful surgery where she had her kidney removed. We're so glad that the doctor saw that and got that out, especially since the kidney was malignant. We pray for continued healing for Lorraine. We ask that it would be a quick recovery. We love her so much, and we're so glad for all that she's done for this church and how she's really encouraged so many of us spiritually with her deep prayer life and her love for you. I pray now, Lord, that you would be with her now and encourage her heart and be with Tom as he stands by. And thank you that some of their children could be here during that time, and it would just continue to walk with Lorraine through these days of recovery and healing. We ask, Lord, that you would heal Nathan as he's facing elbow surgery on Tuesday. Lord, we pray that you would help that surgery to go well and quickly, and that you'd restore Nathan to complete and total use of that arm. Lord, thank you so much for Nathan, for his faith in you, and how he's sharing that with the Crash Zone kids. Just bless him in every way, Lord, and bring him healing, health, and wholeness. With Mac, we pray for Amber, who's in the psychiatric care right now. We pray for Amber's healing, Lord, and we ask that you would provide for her resources that she needs so that she can heal emotionally and fulfill the purpose that you have for her. We ask, Lord, with Brenda, that you would bless our search for a youth director. Lord, this has been a long process. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to find just the right person that you want us to have, and that this would happen soon so that our youth can have the leadership that they need and deserve. Lord, we pray with Betty. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the boutique's efforts this year, especially as they work on making 19 batches of hard candy, Lord. And we just pray that it would go well and that they'd be able to sell that candy, and that you just bless the boutique as a whole as they work so hard to raise money for this church. We also pray for Betty as she's downsizing. And, Lord, we just ask that you would be with her in this transition. It's hard to transition, and I pray, Lord, for smooth sailing for her, that you would provide all of her needs, and that you would give her a sense of your peace in and through this. With Margaret Honda, we pray for continued healing for her two nephews who have throat cancer, who are very young. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in them to bring them to perfect health. And for Margaret's neighbor, Laura, who had a massive heart attack, Lord, and who's in a coma, Lord, reach out and touch her. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. May she know that you are with her. And, Lord, bring her out of that coma and to perfect health. We pray, Lord, for those families who were affected by the shooting in Roseburg, and for the whole situation over there. What a tragedy, what a loss. And Lord, pray for comfort. I pray that churches would come around those families. I pray that there would be a sense, an outpouring of your Spirit in that situation. We also pray for Louise, who needs a job. Open that opportunity for her, Lord, and help her to find exactly what she needs for this time. With Cheryl and the Pasquinelli family, we thank you for Lou, and we just pray that as she embarks on this long period of recovery, that you would be with her, Lord, strengthening her. Lord, we pray that she'd get well more quickly, and that you would be with Art as he stands by and takes care of her, and with Cheryl, who will be there to help, and with Kevin and with their whole family. I ask for complete and total healing for Lou, and that you would encourage her in her faith, and that you would help her to be able to sense your presence as she gets better. Lord, thank you that we can bring everything to you, that you hear us, that you love us, and that you continue to answer our prayers. And so, with faith in you, knowing that you are far more able to do exceedingly abundantly than anything we can ask or think, we lift these prayers to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join me in listening to the words of God from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and this is from the Common English Bible translation. This saying is reliable. If anyone has a goal to be a supervisor in the church, they want a good thing. So the church's supervisor must be without fault. They should be faithful to their spouse, sober, modest, and honest. They should show hospitality and be skilled at teaching. They shouldn't be addicted to alcohol or be a bully. Instead, they should be gentle, peaceable, and not greedy. They should manage their own household well. They should see that their children are obedient with complete respect. Because if they don't know how to manage their own household, how can they take care of God's church? They shouldn't be new believers, so that they won't become proud and fall under the devil's spell. They should also have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that they won't be embarrassed and fall into the devil's trap.
So last week, we announced the birth of Abriana Lee Taramina on September 22nd. Abby was 7 pounds, 6 ounces, and 19 inches long. For her mother, Shauna Pro Tamarina, this is a joyous event, right? And the question is, well, how should we pray for a mother of a newborn child? You know, perhaps you want to pray for something that you have and you feel good about. You know, maybe it's financial security. Or perhaps you want to pray for this newborn mother about something that you lack. Maybe it's happiness in your family. And it's very easy to project what we want when we pray for other people. Because after all, what we want is what everyone wants, right? The best way, kind of a big way to be balanced in our prayers, is to ask the person what they want. Maybe all Shauna wants is a good night of sleep. And Jesus demonstrated this too in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20. When Jesus is confronted with two blind men, he doesn't just assume the obvious, but he stops and he asks, and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I think that's a really good example for us. Well, today we're continuing our sermon series on, it's following this book, I Am a Church Member. And it's goes along with our second hour time that we're doing in kind of small groups. And this week we have the chapter of four is that I will pray for my church leaders. Now the book concentrates on pastors, but in our denomination, our leaders are more than just pastors. We have elders. We have deacons. We have ministry leaders such as Steve and Terry Diaz for our children and youth. So when I'm talking about leadership, church leadership this morning, I'm talking about that whole group. And I realize that the lines are fairly arbitrary, but you got to draw the line somewhere. Now, to reinforce this, when Paul talks about the church as a body in Romans 12, you know, he's referring to different parts that serve different functions. And we heard about that in the last couple of weeks. And so that type of leadership is precisely an example of that. They're not better, they're not worse, they're just different in the function that they're performing. So I want us to pray for our church leaders. And with that in mind, I've asked the ushers to come forward and pass baskets. And in the basket will be a little slip of paper with the name of one of our leaders on it. I encourage you to take that slip of paper and concentrate your prayers on this, you know, on the leader that you have. That way we can get intense coverage on all of our leaders. If I asked you to pray for our leadership right now, I'm sure you wouldn't have trouble thinking of something. It might be to help West Valley grow, to help Crash Zone. It might be for more members in the choir. And that's all very good, but we need to be balanced in our prayers. Just God wants us to be balanced in everything. But instead of just concentrating on kind of this global stuff, you know, we want to be like that new mother. We want to pray, too, for what they need. Because after all, these programs and stuff that we pray for always gets done through a human agent. Isn't that true in Scripture? Whenever God does a mighty work, there's just about always a human agent behind that. And for us, that's our church leadership. So I'm going to first start off with our pastor, Pastor Kim. Pastors are just a little bit different. And I'm a seminary student at Fuller Seminary. And so I have a little bit different view of this because I'm just kind of getting into this idea of being a pastor. And quite frankly, it's a little scary. You know, people come to Kim and, you know, they have problems, they want solutions. But as an example, sometimes the right thing to do is nothing, you know, but she's got to have the wisdom to know when that's appropriate. I've discovered, too, that it takes a long time to prepare a sermon. If you're, you can probably tell sometimes when it's not long enough, right? But, you know, it can take 20 hours to prepare a sermon. You know, can you figure out 20 hours in your week to devote to that nice block of time, and then imagine doing that week after week after week? Now, again, the book concentrates on that and goes over the interruptions that can happen in a pastor's life when they're trying to do that. Somebody gets sick, you have to visit them. Someone dies. All that stuff takes up your time, and it may not even leave the pastor time to personally grieve if it's a death of a friend or a congregant. Well, Paul writes about this pressure in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says in verse 8, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but upon God, who raises the dead." So pressures on our pastoral leaders are not a new thing. But the message to them is that it's not to rely upon yourself, but to rely upon God. And of course, we expect the pastor to do that, plus have a family, You know, maybe a spiritual life, a devotional life would be fun. And that's a lot. And companies in the Valley have, you know, work-life balance programs, because even the secular world recognizes that you have to have this balance. But, you know, Kim's kind of on her own, as any pastor is. And she has to have the wisdom to do that on her own. She needs God's help for that. Pastors need prayer to survive and flourish in this environment. Now, I'm not saying a pastor's life is not without reward. Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Pastor, when asked about what he likes about being a pastor, you know, he replied, the mess. He says, well, it's not exactly a mess, but it's coming upon something unexpected that I don't know how to handle and where I feel inadequate. You know, another name for it is, I mean, a miracle that doesn't look like a miracle, but looks like the exact opposite of a miracle. It's a slow recognition of life, God's life, taking form in a person and in a context. Words or action that takes me off guard. And Kim can tell you about many rewards that she has had. But remember that mother of the newborn. We cannot assume that we know what Kim wants prayer for. We need to ask her. And I did. Her response that she wants to experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit in greater fullness each Sunday. She also says that she wants God's wisdom to know how to steer West Valley. So, I'm not sure you would have known that until you would have asked him about that. Well, now let's look. So there are lots of other things that a pastor may want prayer about. You know, that's what Kim wants right at this moment. There are tons of other things. And, you know, many more that I can go over in brief 20 minutes this morning. Some of the things are listed in the scripture that Celeste, my wife, read this morning. You know, the things we look for in a spiritual leader, we can pray that those things are maintained. But to help us with our prayers for leaders, I make a little booklet available to you this morning. We've got 100 or so available in the back for you to pick up on your way out. And there are 33 different items to pray for. So I would encourage you to pick that up and to pray for your leaders. And I also give you electronic option to get the stuff too. I'll talk about it in a little bit. So, what does God look for in our leaders? You know, if we look back at the Bible, in Genesis 9, God needs someone to build an ark. Who does he choose? Noah, a man of the land, a farmer. When God needs someone to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, who does he choose? Moses, a runaway and a shepherd. In Judges chapter 6, who does God call upon to defeat Israel's enemies? He chooses Gideon, the least in his family, but somebody who listens to God. And by Gideon's attentiveness to God's word, the Midians are defeated. God's will is done. And we're for Jesus' apostles. Who does he choose? You've got Simon, Andrew, James, John. They're fishermen. What do they know about church, about leadership? We see that God does not choose people because of their experience in leadership, but because they are people who are willing to listen to him. And even today, when looking at requirements for leadership, you know, they don't speak about skill, but about the relationship with Jesus. So given that, how should we pray for our leaders? Should it be something like, Dear God, please make those clowns listen to my opinion and do what I want? I mean, I've been guilty of that, I have to confess, in the past. And, you know, there's at least three things wrong with that, right? The first is, you know, you're judging up front. You know, instead of judging, we need to give our leaders grace. Second thing is, you assume you know better for the church. You know better than God because you're praying what you want to be done. You know, talk to Job about that, about knowing what God wants, right? Chapters 38, 42, look at that. We need to trust in God. Thirdly, you don't let God act if you're trying to shape the church in your own image. We need to let God act and form the image, form the church in the image that He wants. That's what we're called to do, not our will. So we see what God's looking for in a leader by how He's chosen Noah and Moses and Gideon and the fishermen. But like what to pray for Shauna, a newborn mother, we still haven't asked them what they want prayer for. And for a complete prayer practice, we need to do that. Well, I did to that too. A couple of weeks ago, I sent an email out to all the leaders in the church and said, what do you want prayer for? Now, the first reaction that struck me was a response of a simple, thank you for asking. You know? And asking our leaders what they want prayer for is something we can all give. It doesn't cost us anything. But, you know, it's acknowledging that, you know, they need help. You know, not because there's anything wrong with them, but because they're listening to God. And we can help that by our prayers to them. So some of the answers that I got were, you know, again, fairly high level, you know, that they, you know, ask success for their ministry, serve in their positions well, that people in their ministry would feel the love of God. But I also asked them what they wanted particular in themselves, something more specific, something more personally that would allow them to be an agent of God in this church and in the world. And so some of the responses were for God to be in control, and to hear the voice of the Lord clearly, for wisdom, vision, organization, and to clearly communicate, that they be filled with the Holy Spirit, for serenity to accept things they cannot change, but also courage to act, strength for their family, protection from fear, for a Timothy, a helper, to come alongside them, for humility. And lastly, we can't forget that our leaders are also members of this congregation. And, you know, the turmoil of this last year, the split, has affected them too. And it's left some of them exhausted. And we all need prayers for clarity and a renewed sense of purpose for what God wants of us at West Valley. The patience to listen for that. And the realization that we don't have to go looking for God and His will, but God will come to us and God will find us where we are at. There's a lot of stuff I haven't touched upon, as I said. But I want to draw our attention to one thing from verse 7 of the reading this morning. And that's where Timothy talks about the devil's trap. Now, we don't often dwell upon the devil, spiritual warfare at West Valley. And I personally feel that we should give a minimal amount of attention. We don't want to give the devil any more credit than we can. However, it's in Scripture. It's in the world. And we also have to be attentive to that. So we have to be on guard for Satan's efforts. And in this respect, we also have to pray for protection for our leaders from Satan, from evil. Well, as we have seen, there are a number of areas that we can pray for our leaders. about a few of them. We have this booklet, and as I mentioned, I have a copy for you. As you leave, you can pick that up. But if you're like me and don't want yet another piece of paper to have around, send me an email, and I'll send you one of the prayers each day from this booklet. It's in the bulletin. I'm right below the fold. You know, send me an email, and I will send one prayer to your inbox every day. When you get it, stop, pray for our leaders. Just 1 or 2 minutes, that's all it will take. But I think it's important to support these members of the body. So let us not too forget that we are a praying church. And our leaders, with their special function, I said, deserve our prayers. So we can pray for them that as individuals, they will submit themselves to God's will, listen to the Holy Spirit, and act upon God's word, and that they be protected from evil. So with this, please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the individuals who you have called and who have consented to be leaders at West Valley. Give us the right mind to listen to what our leaders need prayer for. As representatives of this church on the corner and the Universal Christian Church, we ask that you give them time, strength, and energy to exercise their office. Pour out your grace upon them. Send the Holy Spirit upon them. Protect them from evil so that they may know your desire for them and for this church. Forgive us, Lord, our foolish ways of thinking that we know best. We confess our need of your guidance, even in how to pray. And we submit ourselves to your will. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May Jesus know us as a praying church. May Jesus know us as congregants who pray for our leaders and who pray for each other. And may the church also be known for leaders who listen to God and act. Go forth, pray this week, listen to God, and may the Spirit bless you today and the rest of your lives. In Jesus' name, amen.